to your way, I'll say yes. Oh, yes, 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 Lord.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a nonprofit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper and be in good health even as your soul prospers.
Unto the Lord, for he is good. Yes, he is good.
As a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, all of your gifts are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com. God bless you.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Yes, he is.
Thanks for joining me again for another hour of Declaring the Finished Work. This is your host, Pat Rando. Today, I will be continuing on Spoken in Love, and this is number 5, Spoken in Love number 5. If you missed the first 4, you can always go back out to our, check out our Facebook, When Christians Speak Talk Radio Facebook page, or go to our website, whenchristianspeak.com, or go to Blog Talk Radio and an archive of all of our broadcasts are out there under When Christians Speak Talk Radio. So you can check all of the our broadcast shows that we do. Amen. So let us pray and then we will begin and see what the Lord will speak. The Spirit of the Lord will speak to us today. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for loving us beyond anything that we could ever imagine. Thank you for life this day. Thank you for a sound mind, a sound body. We thank you, Lord God, that you are with us, that you continue to speak to us, that you continue to protect and guide and lead us, no matter what is going on, you are there, and we can rest in that and have security in that. So I thank you for today's broadcast. I thank you for what you will be speaking to our hearts, and I pray this in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. So here we are, Spoken in Love, number 5. Amen. So last week, I brought up one thing that I want to, a scripture that I want to go back to, and that is in Acts chapter 4, and it is the non-suffer lack. Starting in 32, Acts 4, 32, it says, "Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of these things that belonged to him was his own, but had everything, but they had everything in common. And with great power the apostles were given their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them. For as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as they had need. This is something that in today's political environment, if you were to even bring up the fact that this is in the scriptures, that people, the things that belong to people, their houses and their lands, they didn't look at it as their own. So they had a willingness to help those who were in need. They had all things common. There was this love that they had for one another to the point that no one suffered lack. This may seem as a socialism perspective in today's political environment, in today's cultural environment, when we look at the views of people when there are programs that are trying to be put in place in our government that will help people, that would help the least fortunate. So we are collectively deciding to pay our taxes, some of us willingly, some of us unwillingly, but when we do it, our taxes serve a common cause, because we all ride on the roads, we all take airplanes, we all get on trains. We all have to drink from a water system. I mean, all of these things are things that we all have to partake in. And there are those of us who have less. But are we willing to take care of them? Are we willing to bring what we have together and supply that need, so that none suffer lack? And when you think about how prosperous, you know, we always like to say how prosperous our country is and that we're one of the richest and well-developed countries in the world. And yet we have not solved the problem of poverty, poor water systems, poor road systems. You know, our infrastructure has been falling apart. And but yet, in our arrogance, we can try and project to the world that we've got it going on like that. Amen. So I'm going to move on to what I want to talk about today. And as I said, this is not a formal teaching, but I just feel led to share some things as we get to the end of the year. And I'm hoping that you will be encouraged by it, that you will take an opportunity to reflect on where you are and where God is taking you, taking an opportunity to revisit the true message of the gospel. Sometimes we can, in our day-to-day, we can start to move away from the true message of the gospel, and we can get so caught up in living our individual lives that we start to lose sight of what the true gospel is. What is the good news that our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus came? Because he came into the world not to condemn it, but that through him the world would be saved. And that is the perspective of our Father and his Son. So when we're looking at today's culture, we need to look at it through the lens of Christ, as shown through the scriptures. We have the scriptures, we have the written scriptures, but we also, more importantly, have the Holy Spirit who brings life to the scriptures that we read. Amen. And who also reveals to us the mind and the heart of the Father and what he is speaking to us in a particular season. So Christ in us is the hope of glory. It is our hope of glory. Christ in us. He is the hope of glory. Christ is the hope of glory. Even though during this time I'm really looking at how we've fallen short in this country, we've fallen prey to the culture of this world, and we've become hypocritical in so many of our actions, but yet I have great hope for us even now, even in the things that we see now, things, actions that we see coming from the body of Christ that are contradictory based on Jesus's teachings and what he has shown to us and revealed to us. Amen. Because when he came, he said, to see him is also to see the Father. So he's an exact representation of the heart and the mind of the Father. We just have to return to our first love. We have allowed people to profess that they are Christians and their hearts are so far away from God, even though their mouths are speaking one thing, but the heart of their actions are speaking another. And we have to make it clear that this is not the heart of God. Let's look at Matthew 10, verse 26 through 28. And I hope I'm trying to make sense of how I'm putting these thoughts together so that I'm not all over the place, because there's so much that God has been showing me through the scriptures, what he's been showing me in dreams, what he has been showing me in the things that I see in the world. And so God is really, he's speaking big time during this time. And those who have an ear to hear will hear what the Spirit of the Lord is speaking. Matthew, let's go to Matthew 10, and I'm going to start reading in verse 26. So have no fear. So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. Sometimes when you look at what is going on just in our country, forget what's going on in the world, because the lost is everywhere. But let's just focus today on our country. Only, and I really want to focus on our country because our big thing is that we're this Christian nation, but we don't really operate as a Christian nation. We really basically operate as a country of capitalism. That is a driving force, making money and being prosperous and successful financially and having power is more of what our country is about than it is about the Spirit of God, the Spirit, having the Spirit of God in operation in everything that we do. But do not be discouraged by what you're seeing. Even though you're seeing this divisiveness, you're seeing hate rhetoric, you're seeing laws that would discriminate and cause injustices, don't be concerned about all of that. Don't be concerned about the motives of those people. Because nothing, as the scripture is saying in Matthew verse 26, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. And I think this is a time where a lot of things are being uncovered. People who say that they believe in God and that they're God-fearing people. In this day and age, we're able to see clearly where people are based on their actions, based on the fruits of their mouth and the fruits of their actions. Verse 27 says, "What I tell you in the dark," this, the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to us, "what I tell you in the dark, say it in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops." So we cannot be afraid to speak out what the Lord is speaking to us. We should be able to proclaim it on the housetops without any fear of judgment. Even though it seems that people don't want to hear the truth, but we have to proclaim the truth on the housetops. We can't just hide it within ourselves and live our little comfortable lives and feel that, well, I'm not being affected by this, so why should I put my energy or concern into it because I'm not being impacted? This is not the time for that as a believer. 28 says, "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul." People can kill the body, but they cannot kill the soul. They can destroy this flesh, this flesh. And when I say the flesh, I don't mean that. I mean the actual physical body, the flesh, not the flesh consciousness or the lust of the flesh, but this physical body. Man can kill this body, but he cannot kill the soul. This next verse in this scripture is telling us where what we really should be fearful of. It says, "Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." We're talking about the evil one, the one that can destroy both. We don't have to be concerned about what man can do to us, but it's the evil one, the spirit of the devil. He can destroy both soul and body, placing you in hell. Not later, but right now. You can be experiencing hell. Hell in your physical body and in your soul. Which is why it is important that everything is filtered through the mind of Christ. That we make decisions out of the mind of Christ that has been placed on the inside of us. That we're not just doing what is popular or trying to fit into a particular group, because our life in Christ is not about issues, standing up for issues. Christ came, Jesus came down. Jesus Christ came into the earth to save the world, to save those that are lost. He is about saving souls, and that is what we should be about, saving souls, not about issues. And we can get pulled into that. You know, I've been looking at this whole thing concerning abortions, the Roe v. Wade that is being litigated right now in the Supreme Court based on some laws that have been implemented in certain states. And we say it's because we're pro-life. So many politicians have run on the platform of pro-life, and I'm pro-life. But what does it really mean to be pro-life? Is it only about the unborn? I question these politicians because they say they care about the unborn, the life of the unborn. The reason I question them is because if you can care about the child that you cannot see, yet you're not even caring for the children that you can see, and I am to believe that you care for the children that you can't see, the unborn, when I can clearly see that you don't care for the children that you can see. Right now, in our current environment, there has been just an uptick on these shooter situations in our schools against our children. Our children are being killed in school by shooters coming in who are mentally unstable, who have access to these guns and are able to kill so many people at one time because of the type of weapons they are allowed to have in their homes. Not for hunting, because you don't need those kind of weapons if you're a hunter. And so our children are being trained how to respond in a situation when there is a shooter in the school, and we're not concerned about that. We're more concerned about prayer being taken out of the school than the fact that our children are being taught how to respond in a shooter's environment. This is what our children, they are fearful. And our children are watching us act as if we have no responsibility for that. But we care so much for the unborn, and we're not even dealing with our children who are suffering right now, the ones that we can see. And then we have children that are without parents who are in facilities. I don't even know if we are, well, at least we act as if we're not aware of some of the abuse that goes on in some of these facilities that are being funded by our tax dollars, because they're receiving federal funding from the government to residentially house children who are in need, who don't have a home and who don't have parents for whatever reason. What I see is a country that does not care about their children. And we choose, I have to ask the question, how can a believer vote for someone who is unwilling to address these problems in our society that are impacting our children, but yet you say you're pro-life? This is what happens when we become like the world and we focus on issues. That's not our assignment. Our assignment is to preach the good news, to save souls, to be there for those who are in need. Jesus said, when you feed the poor and visit those in prison and take care of the widows, that you are doing this to him. This is how he sees this. It is the same as doing this to him. So if you're going to take part in this country's political system, then I need you to use the mind of Christ. We all need to use the mind of Christ, and we need to start discerning the spirit. What's the spirit behind the things that we see? And I'm telling you, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak, and you hear people speaking things and you know it is not of God. Let's go to Philippians 2 verses 1 through 8. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. That's a hard one, right? counting someone else more significant than yourself, to only vote based on what your agenda is or what you deem is only significant to you, but it might be harmful to others, or put them in a position where their life is even worse because of something that has been enacted. Verse 4 says, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. See, this mind is available to us because we're in Christ Jesus. Those who are not in Christ Jesus cannot access this mind. It's not there for them, because they've decided to operate outside. They have chosen to operate outside of Christ. If we are followers of Christ, that means we are followers of Christ. He has clearly laid out the map in the scriptures. He has shown us. He has come into the earth and lived his life in such a way that it has shown us the way, the truth, and the life. Verse 6 says, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. So he wasn't focused on raising himself up in our eyes as God. He knew who he was. He knew who he was. He could be humble because he knew who he was. He did not have to be fake. He did not have to pretend. He did not have to put on a good show, a good performance. He knew who he was. The verse 7 says, but he emptied himself. Now, how often in our culture would someone who has privilege would empty himself and take on the form of a servant? That's a good question, right? Those of us who are privileged, are we willing to empty ourselves and take on the form of a servant? This is what Jesus was willing to do. He took on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. He chose to come into the earth in the likeness of men. That's a whole nother teaching right there, because there is a purpose why he came in the image of man. He did that for us. That's why he refers to himself as the Son of God and also the Son of Man. He came to show us how to live as a human, a spiritual being, and a human being. He came to show us how to live that life. Not only did he come to show it, he provided the way for us to be able to live that life. It's available to us. It's a process, of course, because there are things that we have to let go of in our consciousness in order to grasp hold of this truth that as he is, so are we in this earth. That is no longer I that live, but Christ in me. The process of letting go of everything that comes against that knowledge. That's the process, because it has already been done. It's a finished work. Let me go on to verse 8. It says, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He did this for us. He allowed himself to be put to death. He willingly, if he hadn't been willing to do that, we wouldn't have been able to put him on that cross. But he humbled himself and became obedient to that point of being put on the cross. My question is, if we say we love God, how can we support politicians who use the name of God, yet they speak of hatred and violence and division? They speak of fear. They use fear as a tactic to scare you and always pointing out some enemy that we have to be afraid of. When God says he has not given us a spirit of fear, how can we support them? How can we remain silent when they misrepresent what Christianity is, what it means to be a follower of Christ? How they would mislead our young people into thinking that this is what a Christian is. That it's about our guns and us having freedom to not wear a mask or not to whatever, take a vaccine, as though we have to be fearful of any of that as believers. But having, if Christ was willing to be obedient to death on the cross, what are we willing to be obedient to? What point? For others. For the interests of others. We've already been assured that if we drank poison, that it would not harm us. That we had nothing to fear. We don't foolishly go out and do these things. But if it's just like with Paul didn't go look for a snake to bite him, but this snake did come and bite him, but he believed God and he lived. We're not out to tempt God by doing things and saying, okay, now that I've done this, God, now I need you to do this. Tempting God by putting ourselves in a danger where we have not been led by his spirit. Because if he led us into a danger, that means it's not a danger to us. He led us there and then he'll be there with us. And back to the earlier scripture about not even being afraid about what man can do to this physical body. Not being fearful of that. But if you want to be afraid of something, the evil one, that spirit of the devil that can destroy both the body and the soul. In this day and hour, I'm wondering what is being spoken in the congregation of believers. Are we being prepared to live in this culture? Are we being prepared to do it based on the life that Christ has shown us? It will be interesting to see how believers will respond in this season at the ballot box. Who will they be thinking about? Will they be able to tell a tree by its fruit? And if you see that the fruit is evil and you turn a blind eye because there is this issue that you feel that this guy will represent you in. I cannot believe how many ungodly people say that they're pro-life. And they do such harm to people. They do such harm to people. Just the lies that they speak to people. It's a poison. Are you able to say that you're following Christ and follow someone like that? Well, I'm going to stop right here. I don't want to get too deep into our political system. But because we do participate in it, I believe that we should participate in it with wisdom. We've been left here in a world. We're like sheep among wolves, but we are to act with wisdom, with discernment. Father, I thank you. I thank you for all that you're speaking, and what you're saying is beyond what I can articulate in words, but it is your spirit at work. I thank you that truth is what makes us free. I thank you that we are no longer deceived by the lies and the deceptions of the enemy, the one who is able to destroy body and soul, that we allow love to direct our choices, our decisions, our actions, the love that can only come from you. Thank you that you so loved us, that you gave us your son. Thank you for eternal life. Thank you for abundant life. We give you all the glory and honor. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for being with me this hour. And tomorrow night is Friday Night Joy again with Pastor Ray Rose at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So please join him. And we are actually, the second Saturday of the month. The second Saturday of the month, we will have our youth and young adult broadcast on. And it is 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And that is Bold and Beautiful. That's at 10 a.m. this Saturday. That's Eastern Standard Time, and that's our youth and young adult broadcast, and it's always the second Saturdays of the month. Amen. So be blessed. Praise God. And just continue. Use this opportunity, this season. All the stuff that's being exposed is for a reason. It's going to help us get our hearts in position, our minds in position for others. Amen. Thanks for listening. God bless you.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news.